It's 12:06 and a very cozy 87 degrees as At Noon continues in Santa Fe from KSFR News on Monday, June 10th. Coming up this hour, the Nurses Union at Christus St. Vincent Hospital has brought a complaint to the state's Hospital Licensing Board. KSFR's Charles Maynard was there and reports the nurses complain the hospital doesn't have adequate levels of nursing care for the patients they have. One of those two fires near Santa Fe seems to be winding down, but the season isn't over yet. And KSFR's Joe Day visits the command post to see who runs the show behind the scenes. I'm Bill Dupuy, back with those stories, 60 Seconds with Christopher Hagan, and more after headlines.
The union representing nurses at Christus St. Vincent Regional Medical Center have filed a complaint with state regulators over nurse staffing levels at the hospital. They say the hospital's administration has ignored nurses' concerns that staffing levels are too low to ensure patient safety. The issue has been brewing for years. Today, union representatives say they filed with regulators several years' worth of documentation to support their claim. Some prominent national studies show a direct correlation between adequate nurse staffing levels and patient mortality rates. We have more on this story for you coming up a bit later as At Noon continues. More containment is being reported at the 21,000-acre Thompson Ridge fire in the Jemez, though it did jump a southern flank fire line on Sunday, prompting the partial closure of Highway 4. The road is now fully reopened. The more than 1,000 personnel working the fire have achieved 40% containment. Efforts now are also being assisted by the deployment of some 20 members of New Mexico's National Guard, providing logistical support. Meanwhile, the Tres Lagunas fire near Pecos has consumed just over 10,000 acres with little new growth. Containment there has now surpassed 60%, with fire officials hoping for full suppression by the end of this week. Around the Tres Lagunas fire scene, there are numerous reports of bear sightings as the animals move out of harm's way. New Mexico Game and Fish advises nearby residents to be sure not to leave any food or garbage of any kind where the animals can get to it. Bears that become a public safety nuisance must be relocated, which threatens their survival. The long-awaited new district courthouse in Santa Fe opens today. Chief Judge Raymond Ortiz told KSFR about some of the benefits it brings.
The new courthouse will essentially double the size of the workspace from our existing courthouse. We will be moving approximately 100 offices and employees to the new building. And the new courthouse will allow for much more expanded court services, such as alternative dispute resolution, and much more enhanced support for numerous litigants, for example, who represent themselves, who cannot afford a lawyer to represent them.
The long-delayed opening of the 100,000-square-foot facility comes atop some $25 million in cost overruns from its initial 2005 estimates. Much of the delay was caused by the discovery of decades-old petroleum contamination below the worksite. The opening was further stalled last year by a lack of funding for furnishings. A Santa Fe burger restaurant that has been recognized by national travel magazines has served its last meal at its old Las Vegas Highway location. But the operators of Bobcat Bites say they'll be reopening with a new location in downtown Santa Fe. It will be named Santa Fe Bite and will be located at Garrett's Desert Inn on DeVargas Street. New Mexico stands to lose tens of millions of dollars from Washington because the federal government says the state misspent allocations for special education. Under the federal rule, New Mexico is required to enhance special education programs with the funds and not use them to replace money allocated by the state. Members of New Mexico's congressional delegation say they're working to save the funding. With the 4th of July holiday now less than a month away, both Santa Fe County and City will take official action this week on enacting the strictest restrictions on the use of fireworks permitted by law. The county addresses the matter tomorrow, the city on Wednesday. State law permits municipalities to adopt such restrictions for 30 days at a time and no less than 20 days prior to a holiday for which fireworks may be sold. Friday, June 14th, sees new rules in place under the state's Open Meetings Act. Agendas of public meetings must be made available 72 hours before the meeting, with no exceptions made for weekends. The new 72-hour requirement replaces the previous 24-hour requirement. Those public bodies that convene more than once a week will be required to post a draft agenda at least 72 hours prior to the meeting, with a final agenda posted at no less than 36 hours. New Mexico First, a statewide nonpartisan public policy organization co-founded in 1986 by Senators Jeff Bingaman and Pete Domenici, has announced the names of six recipients for the group's Spirit of Bipartisanship Awards. Among those to be honored in a June 21st ceremony are Fred Nathan, Executive Director for Think New Mexico, and Gary Carruthers, President of New Mexico State University. The now-retired Jeff Bingaman will also see a tribute hailing his accomplishments during 30 years of service in the U.S. Senate. Though its atmospheric signature is not yet in evidence, the National Weather Service office in Albuquerque is stressing the dangers brought by the southwestern monsoon. The season is officially recognized as occurring anywhere between June 15th and September 30th. Characterized often by strong thunderstorms, the greatest threats are brought by lightning and flash flooding. Though nearly impossible to say what the upcoming season will bring in terms of what can amount to near 40% of all annual precipitation for our state during that time, a new report brings some hope. A geochemist at UNM says study of rain patterns over centuries favors a warming climate to bring overall wetter conditions. But he cautions that could mean more extreme variations from one locale to another. And weather for Santa Fe, a mostly sunny, hot, and dry week in store with daytime highs near 90 degrees. There's a very slight chance for an early evening thundershower today. Overnight lows throughout the period in the low 60s. For KSFR News, this is Dan Garrity.
On Wall Street, stocks are pretty lackluster. The NASDAQ is up just a fraction, but the S&P 500 is down. The Dow Jones is down 12 points at 15,235. 12:13 on Mad Noon. How many and what kinds of nurses should be on duty at Christus St. Vincent Hospital has been a sticking point of contract negotiations between the union and the hospital for some time. The union complains they can't keep nurses because the hospital doesn't want to ensure adequate staffing. The hospital has said it has a plan and always works closely with the union to implement it. Who's right? Now seems that state regulators may have to decide. The nurses' union took their complaint to state regulators, and KSFR's Charles Maynard was there.
There was a large contingent of nurses and former nurses from Christus St. Vincent's Hospital on hand at the Health Facility Licensing and Certification Bureau on Pacheco Street in Santa Fe. Afterwards, Fonda Osborne, the union president, had this to say.
We're mad as hell. And we're not going to take it anymore. We want to let the agencies that are supposed to regulate the safety of hospitals and ensure that the health and safety of patients and hospital workers are protected, that the staffing at St. Christus St. Vincent Regional Medical Center needs to be looked at very closely. We have asked that the New Mexico Department of Health, through its Health Facility Licensing and Certification Bureau and other appropriate divisions or offices, and the appropriate offices within the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, CMS, conduct an independent investigation into our concerns regarding the performance of Christus St. Vincent Regional Medical Center. Well, I think that's why we have public agencies, to protect the safety of the community and the patients. And so once they see our documentation, I think that they will feel an obligation. They should feel an obligation to investigate.
Linda Reichert is a registered nurse and worked for a number of years at St. Vincent's and told us the following.
I worked at the hospital for 17 years and felt the need to leave because I didn't think I was ethically giving the care that my patients needed. It was not safe for them, so I decided to leave. So now I'm on the opposite end. I get some of the same patients who are coming out of the hospital. They're discharged after being in there for one day, 6 weeks, whatever. And what I'm finding is that my patients are not getting the care that they need. So now they're out of the hospital. They do not understand any of their discharge teaching. They're leaving without being prepared to care for themselves or their family members to care for them. And the main thing that I keep hearing from my patients is that they did not get care at the hospital.
For KSFR News, I'm Charles Maynard.
What about those staffing levels? How should they be set? Dr. Jack Needleman is professor at UCLA's School of Public Health and was lead author on a paper on that subject, published in the New England Journal of Medicine in 2011. He and his group studied several hundred thousand patients and came to the conclusion that low staffing levels can indeed affect patient mortality. Dr. Needleman joins us on the line. Would you tell us more about this research?
Certainly. I've actually been doing research on nurse staffing for over a decade. The first study I did on the subject looked across different hospitals. It compared hospitals with high staffing to hospitals with low staffing, and it found that the hospitals with lower staff had higher mortality, had higher infection rates, number of problems associated with more bad things happening to patients in the hospitals with staffing that was lower than average. And by and large, it all comes to the same conclusion. Hospitals with lower staffing levels have higher rates of mortality for patients and higher risk of adverse events. The 2011 study, the more recent study, actually was in a single hospital. And there we had data from that hospital where the hospital had its own system for setting what is our target level for nurse staffing on a given unit on each day based upon the patients that are there. And we found in that hospital, which was a very good hospital with very low mortality, that when the staffing was substantially below what their target was, mortality crept up. And I think there's several implications of this. First, it confirms that data from comparing high and low staffed hospitals that staffing matters. And second, it says that hospitals need to understand who their own patients are, what their need for nursing care is, and to make sure that they've got staffing levels that are adequate to meet those needs.
Are you saying the staffing levels then cannot be set in a formula sort of way, a certain number of nurses per patient or patient per nurse?
That kind of program would offer a minimal level of safety for patients in the average hospital. If you can set the targets through legislation at the level that matches sort of what the average patient needs on the average unit of the average hospital, you'll make sure that you've eliminated the truly bad situations. But you've got a number of hospitals in your state that treat very complex patients, very sick patients, that need higher than average levels of nurse staffing. Setting average standards will not be protective for those hospitals. They need their own standards that reflect their patient mix.
So a staffing level this week might be X, where a month ago it was less than that.
Yes. Actually, the staffing level today may be different from the staffing level tomorrow. A lot of hospitals have a very simple system. They simply say, for this unit, how many patients do we have? And then we look at our chart and we say, if we've got 20 patients, we need 4 RNs. If we've got 25 patients, we need 5 RNs. A very simple kind of system. And for hospitals with very consistent patients, who they are, how sick they are, how much nursing they need, that kind of system can be adequate. It may or may not match what's in the legislation, but it's consistent. But for hospitals which have lots of changes in their either their census, how many patients there are in units, or hospitals where the acuity of the patients change from day to day or shift to shift, that kind of system may not be sufficient.
Boiled down, it becomes a very complex story, a complex situation that defies solution by a formulaic remedy.
When you're looking at average standards, minimal standards, you've got some protection at the low end. You don't necessarily have protection at the high end. If you have a more sophisticated system, you have the issue of monitoring it, assuring it's doing what you want, and making sure that it stays properly implemented. Mm.
Professor Jack Needleman from UCLA, many thanks. It's 12:21 on At Noon. We're fortunate in Santa Fe that wildfires have not come too close to the city and large populations, but the season isn't over by a long shot. KSFR's Joe Day set out to see who runs the show behind the scenes while fire crews are on the front lines.
I'm Joe Day, and I'm at the headquarters of the Santa Fe National Forest at the intersection of Highways 14 and 599 south of Santa Fe. From here, if the wind is right, you can see smoke from the two wildfires on opposite sides of Santa Fe, the Thompson Ridge Fire and the Tres Lagunas Fire. This is where much of the firefighting activity on those fires is supported. My first stop, the dispatch center, where people were staffing phones and radios in front of computer screens.
810-502.
Santa Fe copies engine 502, changing locations to Row Mesa, Santa Fe 1401.
This is the automated flight following, so you can see the aircraft here over the two different fires, and then these are helicopters.
So are you directing them?
No.
They're being directed from the ground?
They coordinate with the firefighters on the ground, yes.
So you're monitoring them to make sure that no other airplanes come in?
They are tracked for safety reasons. I have three airplanes and three helicopters flying right now. I have these guys that are getting fuel. They're on the ground at the heli base for the Tres Lagunas fire. They're getting fuel and reloading. And then they'll get back up and start flying over Tres Lagunas doing bucket drops.
Renee Isaacson.
Who decides which resources, whether it be aircraft or on-the-ground resources, are directed to which fire? Who makes those decisions?
Well, it's the person on the ground that needs to give us their objective for the fire. What they're seeing is what we rely on. They're called the incident commander, the IC.
Are there City of Santa Fe or Santa Fe County firefighters involved right now?
Yeah, there's two. There's several that were involved in the beginning stages, initial attack. There's also several right now that are helping out.
As you look toward the summer, I mean, we all know, those of us who live here, we all know we're in a huge drought. What are your thoughts about what's coming up? I know you're not a weather person, you're not a predictor, but you must have some thoughts. Do you think you'll be ready?
Well, we're ready when we hit the first fire. We prepare all through winter for the summer. When we get our fires, you know, we hope that we're ready. We have everything in place for the needs for the guys on the ground, the guys and the girls. For the summer, you know, everybody said it was going to be pretty hot, and it is. It's very, very, very dry. And we just hope that, you know, the people that go out in the public, I know some areas of the forest have been closed, but for the public, it's just that they be really cautious when they're out there, that, you know, we're losing a lot of recreational areas. And it's sad to see, but, you know, with it being dry, people just need to be aware.
Next, I went into a large, very busy room, normally a conference room, but now home of the expanded dispatch center, staffed by about 15 people on computers and phones.
Nancy Niskauskas.
Nancy, what is your job here? What role are you playing here?
I'm the expanded dispatch coordinator for the Santa Fe National Forest and the local cooperators here in the Santa Fe area.
What does that mean exactly? What do you do?
Well, when a large fire breaks out, like the two we have now in the area, we wind up ordering equipment, personnel, supplies, and crews for the fires and get all that stuff out to the firefighters.
Specifically, the people that are up there, the 2,000 or however many it is right now, where do they come from? They come from all over the West or all over the country?
Well, for these two fires, because they were the first two fires of the season pretty much in the Southwest, they are primarily from New Mexico and Arizona.
Where are they sleeping? Where do they live?
Well, usually there's one main incident command post and a fire camp for them, and that's where the caterers and the showers and stuff are. But these fires have got so big so quickly, they have a lot of what they call spike camps, where they, so to cut down on time and transportation and, you know, and safety issues, they make smaller camps around the fire incident. And they sleep in tents and they have porta potties and we get them sinks and showers.
What is your name, please?
Pat, go by Pat or Patricia Deering.
What is your job here?
My job is an assistant buying team leader at this time.
What kinds of things are you buying?
We are buying a variety of things. We have been buying many chainsaw parts. We have water, ice, and Gatorade that goes out every day for our firefighters. We had a medical order, huge orders of Band-Aids and moleskin and gauze wraps. Those are going out many times. We also, for our administrative folks, we're sending out pens and, you know, administrative type things, tablets and folders and organizers so they can organize all the files. We buy it locally. We have bought almost everything in Santa Fe. If we can't find it locally, then we may have to go to an internet source or we've got a little bit out of Albuquerque, but actually almost everything has come from Santa Fe. Sometimes they need something to go on the line. I've had occasions where they say, well, if we don't get batteries in 3 hours or 4 hours, we can't go on the line tomorrow.
My name is Jason Wolf.
Jason, what are you doing here?
I'm working in expanded dispatch, primarily as an equipment dispatcher. So
what does that mean?
That means if it has wheels, I get to order it. So all your engines, dozers, excavators, hand washing trailers, all the equipment that has wheels. The people out on the fire that are they tell us what they need and. We get it in the computer, and then we have lists of people that we call and, you know, say, hey, can you come out and help us fight this wildfire? Yeah, I love what I do. I love being here, and I love it kind of sounds crazy, but I really love the long hours and having that feeling that I'm helping out and, you know, helping protect our natural resources.
Do you feel that... that you have enough resources for these two fires?
We do. You know, we're lucky. When you're the first couple fires of the season, you tend to be able to, you know, resources aren't scarce and you're able to order what you need in a timely fashion. And I think we're and the weather's helped us out. And, you know, when you're the 10th fire in the Southwest area, you tend to get a little scarce on resources. But right now we're doing pretty well, I think.
Summer coming up. We're in the middle of a drought here in the Southwest and in the West in general. Do you see problems in staffing and resources coming up this summer?
Oh, sure. I mean, it's you know, it's inevitable. It pretty much happens every year, whether it's either here in the Southwest or up in the Northern Rockies. If you get multiple fire starts and, you know, a lightning bust or there's a big wind event and you get 3, 4, 5 fires, I mean, it's just there's not enough resources to go around. And then the agencies wind up having to prioritize which are the most important, which are threatening lives and property, which are more like remote in a wilderness area, and that's how they assign resources when there's shortages.
I read, I believe, that there has been a reduction because of budgetary issues in Washington. There has been a reduction of the number of people that are going to be available to fight some of these fires. Is that true?
That's correct. I believe that, you know, that the Forest Service and the other federal agencies have gotten budget reductions, and that's meant less engines being staffed nationally and, you know, crews and things like that. So it could be, if it's a long fire season, it could have an effect.
From the Santa Fe National Forest Headquarters, for KSFR News, this is Joe Day reporting.
We've got an extra minute for the old curmudgeon.
I'm not really a gardening or yarding kind of person. I'm not sure why, unless it was the 4 summer years I spent working on greens and fairways on a golf course in Minnesota. Renting the house where I live, I do my best to keep the front yard looking decent. I go with a kind of all natural look, feeding lots of birds and putting water out for them and other critters. For whatever reason, one Sunday I decided to get rid of some weeds that had grown on the edge of the driveway. One of the plants is kind of pretty, bright green with, I think, yellow flowers. The stems have like scales on them, and they grow fairly close to the ground. So I cut one up and put it into the trash bag, noticing that the plant leaked like a milkweed. I got some of that liquid on my arm. I didn't think much about it until I woke up the next morning with my arm covered in a rash. That will be the last time for a while that I weed. Call it a rash decision. For KSFR, I'm Christopher Hagen.